Well, people of the Most High God, this is a challenge, and I'm thankful, I'm grateful to have you, our Challenge Ministries Radio congregation, involved. You are a congregation of challenge, so far as I'm concerned, just as much so as if you were sitting here in our teaching center when I teach. You are a part of challenge, and you're in the Challenge Radio congregation. Today's message is going to encompass a lot of truth. We want all of our messages to encompass a lot of truth, but I want you to understand this going into it today before I pray. Unbelief is an offense to God. Unbelief is an offense to God. Because basically unbelief is saying, I'm not sure I can trust you. I'm not really sure I believe you. And because I'm not really sure I can trust you, and because I'm not really sure I can believe you, I may be prone not to obey you. And that is costing us. We're being told now that China is building a facility in Cuba to monitor and to eavesdrop on our electronic system here in the southeastern part of the states. And we want to know how much further it may be eavesdropping, being able to monitor not only texts but emails, as well as our some of our military bases and some of our Department of Defense communication. Then we've got George Soros and his son with their billions. And his son has just said that when his dad dies, he's going to continue doing the same thing his dad did, that he is going to support with the money that he will inherit from his dad those politicians that are what we call left-wing politicians. I don't call it left-wing and right-wing. I don't call it liberal and progressive, conservative and progressive. I call it godly and ungodly. But what he's saying is we're going to continue purchasing politicians. That's what the man is saying out of his own mouth. He's saying we're going to continue purchasing politicians. That means they're already purchasing politicians. So that tells us that some politicians can be purchased. But then we know also that some pulpits can be purchased, which is why we need to better understand the text today, which is Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, I'm going to stretch you. The Holy Spirit's going to stretch you. If you listen to this message, God gave it to me. He birthed it. I'm just preaching it. I'm just teaching what the Holy Spirit has prompted to me and shown me in the Scriptures. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear. So let's pray before we get into it, shall we? But go ahead, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, if you have the ability to do so where you are. Romans 5, 17. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to pray. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Notice that. Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I've been before your throne this morning, and I'm still coming before your throne. I simply want to obey you. I want to pray, preach, teach what you want me to pray, teach, and preach. I confess to sin any spiritual pride, anything in my life that would hinder or restrict me in presenting these biblical truths to these your people. And Father, you've got those who are not yet in the kingdom of God, but they're listening. You've got those, God, who are religious, but not born again. They're still in the secular family. And then, Father, you have those in the spiritual family. You have people in both camps. And I'm asking you to make this real to those in both camps. And I'm asking you to stir the hearts of those in the Christian community to give themselves to faithful, godly, holy living and fervency in intercessory prayer. And then I'm asking you to stir the hearts of those in the secular community to better understand who you are, and that they might understand if they are of the elect, and we know that the elect are, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that they may be one of those that you foreknew in your omniscience that sometime at their point in life they would choose to be saved. So, Father, we're asking you to make this message real to those in both camps and raise up, we pray, opposition to the satanic agenda in both camps. Raise up opposition in both communities, both the secular community of those who are of the elect but who do not yet know they are of the elect, and those who have already been born again, and raise up opposition to the satanic agenda. And this we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Let me go into it like this. The similarities in the people of God today and the people of God of old are really striking. They really are. And the way that God dealt with his people yesteryear, centuries ago, and the way God deals with his people in this day are also similar. They were blessed, the people of old, Israel of old, was blessed in their believing God and obeying God. And you see, you obey what you believe. You will do what you believe. So they were believing God and obeying God, and they were blessed for believing God and obeying God. And then at times they did not believe God and missed out on the blessing. Now the same thing is true in this, our day. Hear me, people of God. Faith and obedience are always rewarded. Faith and obedience are always rewarded. Unbelief and disobedience is always costly. It has already cost many today. It's going to cost many yet, because unbelief and disobedience is always costly. As Jesus said to those that he was teaching in the synagogue, Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." I could say the same thing to those listening to this message. He that has ears to hear. Let him receive the truth that's going to be expressed in this message, because it will take ears to hear. Hear me. Please listen to me carefully. It will take ears to hear much of the truth in this message. I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis to develop the truth I want to develop in this message that I feel the Holy Spirit wants to develop through me in this message. In Genesis 1:31, after God had created everything that he had created, the Word of God says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Now remember this, though. Prior to verse 31, we've got to look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27, where he created man. In Genesis 1, 26, "And God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion." Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Then we go back to Genesis 1:31. "Then God saw everything," after everything was completed, everything was created, "God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So where did it all go wrong? Why are we in the mess we're in today? Everything he created was good. He gave man dominion. So where did it all go wrong? Simple. It's real simple. Man did not obey God. And in man's disobedience, he lost his dominion. Man's disobedience, sin, one sin, original sin, that one act of disobedience, that one act of unbelief, opened the floodgates of sin, sickness, disease, and death. But thank God, God had a plan of restoration for those who would believe. God had a plan, which brings us back to Romans 5:17. Once again, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now look at the first phrase of that again. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one. Here again, by the one sin of the first man, we call it original sin. That one original sin cost man his dominion. But remember, God had a plan. God had a plan of restoration for all who would believe. Once again, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Church, people of God, Word of God says that those of us who have received this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, in other words, those of us who have been born again, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So you say, well, how does that happen? How does one reign in life, exercise dominion? The Bible tells you, through the one, Jesus Christ. That's how it's done. This is not a vague, inexplicable comment. No, it's as clear as day. Once you understand your position in Christ, it is done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it can only be done through those who have been born again. Once you come to Christ, I did not say it could be done through religious people in the religious community, because the religious community is full of people who are not spiritual. There are religious people in a religious activity going through religious practices, religious habits, religious routines, but they're not born again. They have not been adopted into the family of God. They're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. So, how do we reign in life? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been born again? By believing His Word. Did you hear me? By believing His Word. By obeying His Word. This is how you reign in life. Folks, I'm telling you, if you've got ears to hear, this message is going to bring you out of some semi-darkness into a greater amount of light. It's done by being born again, by believing His Word, by obeying His Word. You see, God's people of old had been promised a land of promise. God had promised them a land that would be theirs. The people of God today have a promise of a life of promise, a life filled with the promises of God. It's a life of promises, a life of promise, a life of promises, and it can be embraced by all who have received Christ and who have truly been born again. One of those promises is eternal life. See, there's never going to be a time that I don't exist. In all of time and eternity, there'll never be a time I do not exist. When I draw my last breath, I'll be more alive then than I've ever been before, because I'll be in the presence of God, I'll be in eternity, and I will never, ever, ever again face death, sickness, sin, disease. But back to the question. How does one reign in this mortal life? As I said, it begins when you're born again. It's when one truly believes the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the Son of God. When one believes and prayerfully receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, then they are in a position to learn how to reign in this life. Notice I said they're in a position to learn how, to reign in this life. Here again, it's done by believing the Word of God. It's done by knowing the Word of God, and it's done by obeying the Word of God. Notice that. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to obey the Word of God, because you cannot obey what you don't know. When you believe the Word of God, know the Word of God, then you're in a position to obey the Word of God, and it's done by knowing your position in Jesus Christ. Folks, I've been in ministry long enough to realize that not many, really, out of the entire Christian community, how many do not know their position in Christ? They do not know how to stand against Satan and everything out of hell. And yet, it's been made available. It's been made available. You've got to know your position in Jesus Christ. It's done by your lifestyle. It's done in your Christ-likeness. You see, as you submit and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, as you submit and surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and then as you give yourself to godly, holy, separated living, as you give yourself to intercessory prayer, as you give yourself day by day by day in presenting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, as you present your body as a living sacrifice, as you determine in your prayer closet that you want to take every thought captive, that you want to obey, that you want to be a fervent, faithful branch on the vine. Jesus is the vine. And when you determine in your heart above everything else in this world, you want to be a faithful, fervent, fruitful branch on the vine, that puts you in a position to start reigning in Christ. Now, let me illustrate what I mean by giving you some Bible truth for you to consider. Just listen to what I'm going to share with you from the Word of God, okay? Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man, regardless of his background, regardless of his sinful past, how deep he was in sin, regardless of how depraved and perverse he was, how profane he was, how wicked he was, if any man be in Christ, if he's been born again, then he becomes a new creation, a new creature. Not only has his sins been put to death in Christ, his past has been forgotten by God, old things are passed away, he no longer wants to do the things he used to do, and everything's become new. You see, as one born again, you are a new creation. As one born again, you have been adopted into the family of God. Look at Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, a child of God, a son of God. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You now call God, if you've been born again, God is your Father. And so the Word of God tells us that as a child of God, you have access to the throne of your Father. You have access to the throne of God. Hebrews 4:16, speaking to those born again, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, as a child of God, you can successfully resist the devil and his temptations. What does the Word of God say? In James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Until you were born again, you didn't have that option. But now that you are born again, as a child of God, you can stand against Satan and every demon out of hell. You can overcome every temptation. You can come out of every bondage because Christ came to set the captives free. This is you. If you've been born again, this is what you're entitled to. The word says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. With what? Go before the throne of God boldly with intercessory prayer. Praying for yourself, your loved ones, praying for your family, praying for your church, praying for the church, praying for your nation, praying for the world, praying for the nations of the world. You have access, friend. If you've been born again, you have access to the throne of God. Utilize that access. As a child of God, you can successfully stand against Satan and everything he brings against you. Once again, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at the order there. Submit and resist. Submit and resist. You see, in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you have authority. You have the authority. You can submit yourself to him and his authority. You can submit yourself to the Lord. You can resist the devil. And you have that authority promised you in the Word of God. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man, our old sin nature, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, till you're born again, you're a slave of sin, in bondage, a slave of sin. In Romans 6:12, Word of God says, once you're born again, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. It's volitional. Once you're born again, you can submit to God, resist the devil, resist the temptation. And therefore, the Word of God says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Why? Because you can now resist sin. You can resist the temptation. Now you're in a position with authority, power to rule and to reign in this area. In verse 14 of Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. You as a believer, you as a believer priest, you as a new creation, you as one who's been adopted into the family of God, sin cannot have dominion over you unless you choose to let sin have dominion over you. Let not, the Word of God says. He says, let not. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Look at verse 18 of Romans 6. For having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Before you were a slave of sin. Now you want to be a slave, if you put it as the word says. You want to be a slave of God. You want to be a slave of righteousness. You want to live a godly, holy, righteous life. You want to rule and reign against the kingdom of darkness in this life, right now, in this existence. Jesus came to set the captives free. We know that. He told us, Jesus came to set the captives free. Who are the captives of Satan? Those in the bondage of sin. Those in the kingdom of darkness. Those who have never been born again are captives in sin. They're in bondage. Folks, we have satanically engineered move and movements and expressions of life in this nation today that are filled with those who are captives of Satan. They're captives of sin. They're in bondage. They are in bondage. And those of us who have been set free, at one time we were in bondage to sin to one degree or another and different kinds of sins. But when we came to Christ, we were brought out of the darkness. We were brought out of the kingdom of darkness because we were purchased with the blood of Christ. Our sins were put to death in Jesus Christ. We received the enablement and the empowerment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And now we've been set free from the bondage of sin. That does not mean that we're sinless. Yes, we still sin, But praise God, Word of God promises us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us continues to cleanse us as we acknowledge and confess our sins. Look at Luke chapter 4 and 18, where Jesus said He come to set the captives free. He went to the synagogue one day. They asked Him to speak. He took the Torah. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Set the captives free. Regardless of what you as a believer, regardless of what you encounter in life, you can come through that thing victorious in Christ Jesus. And some of you right now are in a storm. Some of you right now are coming through a testing. You're coming through a storm of temptation. And right now some of you are resisting and it hurts. It's painful. It just really hurts what you're being battered with. But you can now face that storm, come through that storm, trusting, believing in the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, trusting Christ, believing God, taking Him at His Word, believing His Word. You can come through that storm victorious in and through Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is reigning in this life. That is how you reign in this life. But, listen carefully, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. I'm talking about reigning. I'm talking about position of authority. My position of authority is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. All power, all authority has been given to Jesus. Those of us who've been born again, the Word of God says, are in Jesus. That means we're in Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, which we have access to the throne of God, which means we can reign according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, we can reign in this life. Now look carefully what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12. Are you ready for this? Child of God, are you ready for this? Really? I mean, really. Are you ready for this? Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." What? What? Listen to it again. This is Jesus. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." You say, "Bob, how can that possibly be? How can I possibly do greater works than he did? How can I do the same works that he did?" Friend, it's not done in the flesh. So much of the church has tried to do it in the flesh. So much of the church has tried to do it as a show-and-tell kind of thing. It cannot be done in the flesh. It is done in faith. Are you listening? It is done in faith, in obedience. Listen to me, please listen to me. It is done in faith, in obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is just gently, gently, sometimes it's not a hard push. Other times it's very strong. But many times as the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray something, many times when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, many times when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say something, it's just a very, very slight prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then when you obey, it is done in faith. It is done in faith, in obedience. It's done in faith, in obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees when he had healed on the Sabbath? Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and The Pharisees were all upset because he healed on the Sabbath. They were accusing him of breaking the law. They saw healing on the Sabbath as working. He's not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. So they were accusing him, harassing him. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus is saying, I watch what the Father's doing. I know what the Father wants me to do. And I do what the Father wants me to do. I obey. I simply obey what the Father wants me to do. I just got through telling you, it's done in faith, in obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I know what you're thinking. Bob, I'm totally unworthy, aren't we all? I'm not worthy of one drop of the blood of Christ. I know me, and God knows me. I know there's a lot about me that's unchristlike. How often do I say that to the Father? How often do I say to the Father, there's so much in me yet that is unchristlike, and I'm working at it under the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to take every thought captive. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, like the Word of God tells me to. I want to love my neighbor as myself, like the Word tells me to. So I'm daily by day, we all have to do this. We have to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say to the Holy Spirit, I'm willing to. Holy Spirit of God, I'm willing. I'm willing to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and spirit. I'm willing to love my neighbors myself, but I can't do it in the flesh. I can't work this up in my flesh. I've got to have your enablement. I've got to have your empowerment. I want your enablement. I want your empowerment. I am willing. And once you're willing, he can work. Once again, Jesus said, I most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, the Son does in like manner. Who do you think prompts you to do what the Father wants you to do? Who do you think prompts you? It is the Spirit of God. And let me say this to you, child of God. You need ears, I'm telling you. You need ears to hear this. Many times, the better works that Jesus talked about, the greater works, he said, the works that I do, these who believe me, they will do greater works than I do. Many times, that work is done. Listen to me. Many times that greater work is accomplished in secrecy in the prayer closet. Did you hear me? Many times the greater works are done in secrecy, accomplished in secrecy through the prayer closet. You see the need. You see the need in an individual's life. You see the need and you start taking them to your prayer closet. And you go into the prayer closet or wherever you pray and you start interceding for them. You take them before the throne of God and you express what you see in their life as a need to God, asking God in his love, mercy, grace, power, and authority to meet that need. It may be salvation. It may be freedom from addiction. It may be for their marriage. Whatever it may be, hear me. You see the need of that individual, and you take it into your prayer closet, and you pray it. Then you look at the nation. You look at the nation, and you see what the nation needs. You see the need of the nation for revival, for spiritual renewal, for the strongholds of Satan to be diminished and destroyed, to see those in position of power and authority in the nation who are the agents of Satan, who are influencing the nation, their power, their authority, their influence needs to be neutralized. So you take it to the prayer closet and you say to God, you say to the Lord God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to neutralize the power, the authority, and influence of those who are the agents of Satan, who are in charge of the affairs of this nation. I am asking you, Father God, to neutralize their power, their authority, their influence, and their impact on this nation. I am asking you to neutralize the power, the authority, and the influence of those unclean spirits that are influencing them. Go to Daniel chapter 10. You get some idea of what I'm talking about. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. You'll get some idea of what I'm talking about. You, my friend, can take individuals before the throne of God. You can take this nation before the throne of God. You can take whatever need is needed that the Holy Spirit makes real to you, makes clear to you, and prompts you to be concerned about and to pray about it. You can take that before the throne of God in intercessory prayer. That's called reigning in life. You see, as a child of God, as a believer priest, you take it to your Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You take it to Him. And then, when you see God answer that prayer, when you see it's accomplished, don't take credit for it. Don't let spiritual pride creep in. Don't take credit. You don't have to brag about the fact that you prayed that for that individual or you prayed that. Let God do it. And when you see God do it, just thank Him. Thank Him for doing what He did. Thank Him for hearing and answering your prayer. Don't take credit for it. We want to be recognized. We want self-exaltation. We want to impress people, don't we? Sometimes the praying in the church is not so much for the ears of God as it is for the ears of the people in the congregation. God doesn't really listen to prayers like that. They're self-serving prayers. But no, we're talking about the kind of praying that you go before the throne of God, your Heavenly Father, with the needs the Holy Spirit has shown you, and you pray them. When God answered it, don't take the credit. Why? You simply prayed what the Holy Spirit was prompting you to pray. You simply prayed what the Holy Spirit was prompting you to pray. You simply prayed the burden the Holy Spirit laid upon your heart. You simply prayed the need. You saw the need, and you made the request. And do this. In any answer to prayer, you never touch God's glory. You give God all the glory. You give God all the glory for the prayer that He's answered. You have a promise from God. Are you ready to believe it? Are you really ready to receive it? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Folks, I didn't write this. This is the Word of God. God cannot lie. 1 John 5:14 again. And this is the confidence, the absolute confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Child of God, think of all that needs to be done locally where you live. Think of all that needs to be done nationally in the nation you're living in. Think of all that needs to be done globally, that you know those things are not the will of God. Why don't you pray asking God to move on all those things? You know those things that we see in our nation and in the international community are not of God. So much is not of God. Go before the throne of God saying, Father, this is not of You. So I'm asking You to diminish and destroy it. I'm asking You to diminish and destroy, neutralize the impact, the effect, the influence it has on the nation. It's not of You. This is not Your will. Father God, move. Let me show you something from the Scripture. Take, for example, the prayer of Elijah, James 5:17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a human being, just like me and you. Just like me and you. Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, notice earnestly, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah was a man just like me, just like you. He was a man with a passion. He was a man with a burden. What was his burden? He was burdened because of the sins of the nation of Samaria, the northern kingdom. The sin of that nation, Ahab, Jezebel, Baal, he was vexed. He was burdened in his spirit because of the sins of that nation. So he went before the throne of God. Now, sometimes you hear me asking God to cripple that segment of corporate America that is pandering to sin, that is promoting ungodly lifestyles. Basically, I'm praying the same thing that Elijah prayed. And so are you when you pray like that. When you pray like that, you're praying about the same thing he did. That's the burden. You see, what he did, he asked God to chasten the nation. He asked God to judge the nation. He asked God to correct the nation. He wanted God to correct the nation. How? By withholding rain. Destroy the crops. Destroy the crops. Hit them economically. Hit them economically. That's what he's praying. Withhold the rain. And God heard and honored his prayer. God heard that prayer. God honored that prayer. Why? It was prayed in accordance with his will. You see, what's going on in our nation, so much of what is going on in our nation is not God's will. So much of what's going on globally is not God's will. Why aren't you in your prayer closet taking it before the throne of God? Why aren't you day by day by day reigning in this life? Why aren't you reigning through your prayer closet? Why aren't you reigning by taking your position of authority in Christ Jesus and standing against everything that is not of God? That's in violation of his word. That violates his word. That violates his will. Why aren't you doing that? Is it because you don't believe? Is it because you don't believe? Unbelief is an offense to God. My friend, God honored the prayer of Elijah. Why? It was prayed in accordance with his will. The prayer was prayed in accordance with the will of God. Friend, that is reigning in life. That, my friend, is reigning in life. And what we need today, we need some people of God who will purpose in their heart, I am going to obey the word of God. I'm going to reign in life. I'm going to stand for what God stands for. I'm going to stand against what God stands against. I'm going to stand for the will of God. And I'm going to oppose those things that are contrary to the will of God. And I'm going to make my mark in this nation and in the world. You have access to the same God Elijah did. Do you not? You have access to the same God that Elijah did, Jehovah God. As a child of God, as one born again, you have access to the throne of God. Now we have another man who also a mortal man, just like me and you, just like Elijah. And yet, he was heard of God. He prayed, and God heard him. God heard his prayer. Why? Because he prayed in accordance with the will of God. Moses. We won't go into all of his history. I'm just going to take you to one segment here of his history. Moses was a mortal man, but he was heard of God. God heard his prayer. You see, the nation had refused to believe God and enter the land of promise. Remember when they got to Kadesh Barnea and they sent the spies in. And God had promised them the land is overflowing with goodness. It's fruitful. It'll sustain you. And yes, there was some opposition in the land. We have opposition against us today, folks. Why don't you identify that which is opposing God? Why don't you consciously identify that which you know to be opposing God in this nation today? And why don't you give yourself to prayer against that which is opposing God in this nation today. Do you know enough about the Word of God to know what's opposing God? Are you sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit of God to understand what in this nation is opposing God and opposing His will? They had refused to believe God. They refused to accept His word. They sent in 12 spies. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. Caleb and Joshua came back with a positive report. The other 10 said, we can't do it. Fear, unbelief, doubt. They were not willing to trust God and believe God. They were not willing to obey the word of God. And because they were not willing to obey the word of God, they suffered 40 years in a wilderness wandering till they all died off. They had refused to believe God and enter the land of promise. Child of God, let me tell you something. How many today have refused to enter the life of promise? How many of you today are withering in a wilderness, wandering spiritually because you refuse to enter into the life of promise? You refuse to take God at His word, believe God, pray God's word, live God's word, and are living in a spiritual wilderness wandering. Friend, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake, God can be offended by unbelief. And make no mistake about this, God takes notice of unbelief in your life, in my life, in the life of a nation. God is offended by unbelief. And He takes notice of unbelief. He was offended at this time because they had refused to believe Him. He consigned them to a 40-year wilderness wandering. And then the people start murmuring and grumbling and complaining against Moses. They had refused to go into the land. Now they're out there in a wandering around, and they're still murmuring and grumbling and complaining. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? See, they were complaining. We want meat to eat. We want this. We want that. We want this, that, and the other. They had refused it before. How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? And then look what he says in verse 12, Numbers 14. I will strike them with a pestilence, disease. I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. He says, Moses, I'll wipe them out through disease, through pestilence, and start all over with you. Start all over with you. And Moses prevailed with God, said, no, if you do that, the other nations are going to think you couldn't perform your promise. Don't do that. And then he interceded for them. Moses prayed for them. Now listen to his prayer. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. And listen to what Moses says. Moses prayed this, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even till now, forgive these people. Numbers 14:20. Then the Lord said, I have performed according to your word. I've heard your prayer, Moses. I'm going to forgive the nation. This is one man. One man had prayed asking God to punish a nation, and God heard him and did it. Here's one man praying asking God to preserve the nation, and God did it. One man. One man. One man. My friend, that's what you call reigning in life. That's what you call reigning in life. And it was done how? Through prayer. Through prayer. Luke 5:14. And this is the confidence that we ask in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In Matthew 21:18, we read this. Now in the morning He returned to the city. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. You see, it was a time of figs. He had the right to expect figs on that tree. It was a time of figs. He had the right. He was hungry. And there was no trees on him. So he said, let no fruit grow on you again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. What does he mean by mountain? What does he mean by mountain? He means that immoral mountain, that satanic stronghold in the life of an individual, in the life of the church, in the life of the nation. He said, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, that spiritual immoral condition, that spiritual immoral mountain, that satanic stronghold in the life of an individual, the church, or the nation, without doubting, believing, trusting God, you pray against it. He says it will be done. Once again, Matthew 21:22. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Matthew 21:22. Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Church, I'm closing. It's time for some strong kingdom of God praying. It's time for some strong kingdom of God praying. Once again, John, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Church, that gives us no end of things to be prayed. Praying about things that we know from his word are not his will, and then pray those things that we know are his will, and we stay at it, and we stay at it until we see it happen. Let's pray now, shall we? I told you, going into this, it will take ears to hear. Some of you have those ears to hear. Some of you don't. I told my wife this morning, driving to the offices and the studio, I said, if 2 out of 10 hear this message, if 2 out of every 10 hear this message, that could be a good number of people. We can make a difference, people. We can make a difference in this nation. We don't condemn anybody. We don't judge anybody. We judge sin. And we stand against sin. And we pray against sin. And we pray for the kingdom of God. Let's pray right now. My Father, my God, I do not pray anything publicly. I have not prayed in my prayer closet. And we come before your throne confessing as sin the sins of this nation. We confess as sin the sin that the church has embraced, much of the church, much of the community that calls itself the church. Father, we recognize that the church has pandered to sin, so much of the church has pandered to sin. We understand that much of corporate America has pandered to sin. So we're coming before your throne, and we're saying to you, Father God, we're claiming John 14:12, the greater works. In the name of Jesus, we come before the throne of God, and we're asking you to bring correction to that region or those aspects, those expressions of the life of corporate America that are pandering to sin and embracing and promoting an ungodly lifestyle. We're asking you, as Elijah prayed for the northern kingdom, we pray for the kingdom of God in this nation. We're praying you to bring correction. And then, Father, for the church worldwide, for the church, the community of Christians that has pandered to sin in any way, has compromised with sin, we ask you to bring correction, bring conviction, illumination, understanding, enlightenment, and, Father, raise up a backlash in the secular community, in the Christian community. Raise up a backlash of those who are the chosen of God who have been born again, those who are of the elect who have not yet been born again but will be born again. Father, raise up a backlash against everything Satan is introducing into this nation, into the life of this nation, and the life of the church today. And, Father, we're asking you to neutralize the impact, authority, and influence of people like the Soroses and those who would try to purchase politicians and try to purchase pulpits. We're asking you to neutralize their power, their authority, their influence, and we do this trusting you to do what only you can do, because only you can do what we're asking you to do, but we ask it in the name above every name, your Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Now, friend, you've been told how you can reign in life. It's not showmanship. It's not done in the flesh. It's done in who you are, all you are, in submission and surrendership to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is done through prayer and through obedience to the Word of God. Thank you for being with us today till we meet again like this. Be blessed and understand who you are in Christ Jesus, and make up your mind today, I will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Till we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.